You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Guess what? Here's what's even most infuriating about the COVID positive cases that you just mentioned. U.S. citizens have to get a negative test before coming in back into our country. This administration is prioritizing illegal immigrants over U.S. citizens.
This is March 3rd, 2021. Those are the words of Texas Congressman Crenshaw, Republican, talking about how illegals are being released all across our nation without being tested for COVID. But if you are out of our country as a U.S. citizen, you're coming back, you have to be tested before they're going to let you come in. Yes, Biden and the administration are prioritizing illegals over American citizens. And, of course, Texas Governor Abbott announcing yesterday we're going to open up the state. All businesses are going to be open. We will have no longer a mask mandate. Democrats appalled, scared. They're scared about COVID spreading, that this is a mistake. And yet the same Democrats ignore the fact that thousands upon thousands are coming across our southern border through their open door, no border policy, who are not being tested. You see the hypocrisy? Of course you do. They have no concern about illegals coming in. This is politics at its finest as practiced by the left. Which brings us to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Can he save his political career? Well, he announced today, and he's still in the process, the last I checked, holding a briefing today, an announcement. He said, I'm going to make an announcement. Well, of course, everybody showed up. The announcement. Obviously, with the scandal, the sex scandal that's been going on, what's he going to say? Is he going to step down? Is he going to say, I'm guilty, I plead guilty, I'm so sorry, forgive me, let me stay? He turned it into a coronavirus briefing primarily. Again, leftist politics at play. Listen, I give the guy credit for, I mean, you know, that's kind of what you do. It's a little flim-flam, a little look over here, not here. You know what he did end up saying? He actually did end up making a comment about what he's doing or his comments about it. And what he did is, I apologize if I touched anyone, quote, inappropriately. I am embarrassed. He apologized if he touched anyone inappropriately, and he just wants you to know that I'm embarrassed. Does that take care of everything? Everybody good now? Should be. I mean, that's it. We don't get any more, demand more from left, do we? If you're Republican, they will crucify you. That's still not acceptable. Well, actually, in his state, and with some Democrats that want his head anyway, they're pushing forward. They have already stepped forward and removed his executive powers in some cases. So here he is trying in the midst of this scandal, one with the nursing homes, of course, which is much more important than the allegations of sexual harassment. But nobody was calling for him to be ousted and lose anything because of nursing home deaths. But now the allegations about sex scandal, now they're putting it all together. At this point, nearly 30 Democrat and Republican New York lawmakers have said Cuomo should either resign or face impeachment. Mayor Bill de Blasio said if these allegations are true, he cannot govern. And they have stripped Cuomo of emergency powers he had through the COVID-19 pandemic. We also have, in the next 2 hours, focus on H.R. 1. H.R. 1, it would federalize and micromanage elections. Riddle me this. If Democrats are proposing this and supporting it, do you think it's good for America? Do you think it's good for election integrity? And this, I think the Dems are pushing a fabricated threat to keep troops and fences in D.C. Oh, one other thing that you should consider, that you probably had never thought this would never happen. You might have thought that. You might have thought this would never happen. This is not just a proposal I'm going to tell you about. This is underway in one state, now a second state, Are you ready? Are you ready for human bodies to be composted, spread around on the land, as you do with any compost material? And yet they really can't put it near trees and plants for a reason, because of something in human bodies that might be harmful to the plants. But otherwise, you can maybe spread it around otherwise. Are you ready for that? Do you want human bodies cremated, composted, and then dumped all over the land? Listen, Larry Connors USA is much more than just political battles, so share with family and friends. We're on the air. They do not want to miss. You don't either. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, hey, it's me. I'm finally going to get my vaccine. I'm so excited. I've been waiting a while. I'm old enough to get it, and I'm smart enough to get it. So I'm very happy that I'm going to get my Moderna shot today. And I wanted to tell everybody, I think you should get out there and do it too. I even changed one of my songs to fit the occasion. It goes, vaccine, 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 vaccine.
Yes, that's Dolly Parton. Vaccine, vaccine. I'm not even going to try. That's Dolly Parton. She is 75 years old. She's certainly eligible. She's not getting it just because of who she is. She did actually back funding considerable for vaccine production and research. So I'll get to that in a moment. But that song, as she was doing vaccine, we had it in the opening of this segment. But again, compare what you just heard to the original song that she took and kind of did the parody with the vaccine. That's the original Jolene, but now she's put the words vaccine, vaccine, and she's urging others to get the vaccine as well. As I said, she is an investor in the vaccine effort. She gave $1 million donation to Vanderbilt to help specifically with three pandemic-related research projects, including one related to the Moderna vaccine, which she got today. It was administered by a doctor at University Medical Center, Vanderbilt University Medical Center. He has had her as a patient since 2013 when she got admitted to the emergency room following a car wreck. And they've since become good friends, so he was more than glad to give her the vaccine, and she said she's glad to get it, and she thinks you should get it as well. Well, we'll get into that in more detail in just a moment, but let's break down some of this for us right now. We have, as I said, the fact that Texas is opening, the left just coming unglued. They are unglued. I get my morning slap in the face, as I tell you, from the New York Times. I sign up for this. I say, come on, hit me in the morning, wake me up. And I read the David Linhart, column as he outlines what's important for me to know today from the New York Times. And today, good morning. States are lifting pandemic restrictions before health experts think it's wise. And then that goes on deeper into the copy, big print. Is it time? Or is it? And then says many of the basic facts about how COVID-19 spreads are clear. People tend to become infected by inhaling droplets that come from the mouths and noses of others. Crowded indoor spaces where infected droplets can linger in the air are the most dangerous places. They are particularly dangerous when people are not wearing masks. And he says, but look at what some state governments did. Texas and Mississippi announcing they would lift their mask mandates. Iowa and Montana did so last month. And Texas and Mississippi said all businesses will once again be at full capacity. Massachusetts removing capacity limits on restaurants. South Carolina is going to allow gatherings of more than 250. So in announcing these changes, the governor of Mississippi wrote, it is time. Quoting Greg Abbott, the Texas governor, who said state mandates are no longer needed. He did urge Texans and everyone to continue to practice personal vigilance. See, that's just a good idea anyway. Do you not think? I mean, part of personal vigilance includes washing your hands. You know how many people didn't even bother washing their hands prior to this? And you know how many people who still wear masks, and I've seen them in the men's room only. I had not posed as a transgender going to the ladies. But in the men's room, how they come in wearing a mask, do their business, and walk right out without washing their hands. That mask did a hell of a lot of job. A lot of good. So personal hygiene and that kind of stuff and protection and vigilance, still good. And yes, we want to get back to normal life. In fact, that's what the New York Times writer says. People's desire to return to normal life is understandable. And if anything, many medical experts believe that the country has been too slow to restart some activities like outdoor socializing. Above all, in-person school with precautions. But see, here they are now, realizing, okay, we cannot continue to keep the country locked down. They're not going to do it. But now with Texas making that decision, he finds an epidemiologist at Kent State University and say the Texas changes could lead to a rebound in cases. Finds another doctor at George Washington University saying lifting the mask mandates irresponsible. And got another doctor from the Baylor College of Medicine who said, I would recommend holding off. Let's wait another 2 weeks. Well, after that, why not wait another 2 weeks? Well, hell, just check Dr. Fauci. What does he have to say? Well, Dr. Fauci, here's his quote. I don't think we're going to be completely normal a year from now. But I hope we're well on the way to normality so we can ultimately get the world protected at the same time as we get economic recovery so that all the unintended consequences of shutting down begin to normalize, including other health issues that have arisen because of the shutdown. And there have been numerous concerns about other health conditions. Suicide rates and threats, or at least attempts by young people, up dramatically. I won't even bother you with all the stats right now, but I'm telling you, that is a clear issue. And then just the fact of education. How are they going to make up for this? Are they going to try to cram 2 years of learning into 1 year to get these kids back on track? Are they going to extend the school days? Are they going to extend the school year? These kids have been ignored. And the part that continues not to amaze me, but that the left just wants you to not pay attention to, is those who are hurt the worst are those who do not have an opportunity for charter schools or private schools. Read that as being poor and minority for the most part. And those who do not do well on Zoom teaching, read that again as many minorities that need additional help and one-on-one direction sometimes. And other kids as well. But the ones that have been hurt the worst in the process of all of this, and the teachers insisting we're not going back until we get everything, that includes rent subsidies or whatever, the kids that are being hurt the worst are the ones that the Democrats decry all the time. We're taking care of them. We will take care. You're not taking care of them. You're jeopardizing them now and in for the future. None of what they're doing is really helping at this time. But again, back to my morning slap in the face from the New York Times. He points out, the pandemic is a long way from over. That's his decision. He just flat states it. I thought they wanted to rely on science. I would have thought if you're going to make such a blatant statement, the pandemic is a long way from over. First of all, I don't even know what that means, a long way from over. What's a long way to you? But on top of that, he's not citing anyone. He's just stating it as a fact. He does go ahead and say the number of confirmed new cases has stopped falling in the past 2 weeks, both in the U.S. and worldwide. Well, she's acknowledging that. But, of course, they're all concerned, as we all should be, possibly, about any variants, but there's always going to be something around. We still had different strains of the flu every year, every year. And, of course, the New York Times writer points out that he makes this statement. The question is, which risk bring enough benefits to be worth taking? Does it make sense to give people permission to shed their mask or crowd in enclosed spaces where they will exchange droplets of breath? Most scientists say no and say the changes have increased the chances of avoidable infection, illness, and death. Again, the changes have increased the chances, of avoidable infection, illness, and death. That's, again, his statement, culminating on what he says were the scientists. Now, Dolly Parton got her vaccine. There are a lot of people that have been concerned about it. Here's what Dolly Parton had to say about the vaccine itself.
Vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine. Because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is. And that would be a great shot in the arm, wouldn't it, if we could get back to that. But anyhow, I just wanted to encourage everybody, because the sooner we get to feeling better, the sooner we are going to get back to being normal. So I just want to say to all of you cowards out there, don't be such a chicken squat. Get out there and get shot.
Well, it makes a nice slogan and everything, and I don't think Dolly is trying to call you a coward for not doing it, but it's going to be your decision. And at the same time, there's a new concern about numerous pregnancies have led to miscarriages shortly after the women had a vaccine. I think the last number I saw was we're talking about something like 24+ cases. Now, that's not rampant, but it's very important to the family and those who lost a baby that was on the way, whether or not it's to be blamed on the vaccine or not. Obviously, a woman who's expecting should be talking and conferring with her doctor before making any decision. And we don't know if it's actually going to be blamed directly on the vaccine itself. There are those who will not buy into any vaccine. They just will not accept it. And when we talk about this issue about the vaccine causing possible troubles with the expectant mothers, you cannot just walk away from that. You cannot ignore it. You've got to keep in mind that could be critical. If you do not want to take the vaccine, now here's the other issue. Should you be ordered to? Should you have to take it? There will be some employers that might try to state that, and then we'll see where that goes at that point. But again, some of the numbers that are coming in show right now I said 24, actually 34 cases of pregnant women, according to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, 34 cases of pregnant women suffering spontaneous miscarriages or stillbirths after getting the vaccine. A pregnancy is always a delicate thing. It's an amazing miracle from God that we have life like that. I mean, it's just amazing. But it also has to have proper care for the best outcome for mother and baby. Doctors probably are mixed on this. The CDC so far is reporting fewer than 1% of reactions from vaccinations. That does not mean, of course, that they were all related to abortions and things of that nature, spontaneous abortions. But at the same time, it's another caution light. You will have to make your decision. Some of you already have. I know some of my relatives have. They're asking why I haven't. I said, I don't think I need it. Not, I don't plan on doing it at this time. I might change my mind. I don't know. But that's, again, personal decision. So we're hearing talk in D.C. that there's a good reason to keep the troops in place and the fences up because there's a report of a threat. I have to ask you, is it real or is it fabricated? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A couple other notes regarding vaccine and COVID. First of all, as you might expect, in Texas, even though the governor said, we're going to open up the state, the business can open, we're going to drop the mask mandate, there are those in Austin, which is the capital of Texas, that are very upset. They think it's wrong. I regret to tell you that my home birth city of Austin has gone blue. Blue. My granddaddy would have never stood for that. And they're the ones in Austin and controlling the Austin City Council that don't like what the governor of Texas did. Oh, and another note referenced the vaccine. Catholic bishops, some of them have weighed in to discourage their church members from getting the single-shot vaccine from Johnson & Johnson if there are other alternatives. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and at least six other dioceses across the nation have, quote, moral concerns about the Johnson & Johnson shot, saying it's from lab-grown cells, from cells taken from the 1980s tissue of aborted fetuses. So they're advising their parishioners do not take the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that there's a concern, supposedly, that there's a good reason we need to keep troops in D.C. and keep the fences up. You know, we've been asking that repeatedly. If the Democrats think that fences are a good thing in D.C., why don't we have them on the border? If they think troops in D.C. are a good idea, why don't we beef up security along our border? Well, I guess they got to find a way out. And suddenly, here it comes. It comes out of the Capitol Police. But I have to think, did Pelosi pass a word through and say, do this? If so, it could be a real scandal if you get to the bottom of it. Because now U.S. Capitol Police are stating in a statement, we are aware of and prepared for any future potential threats towards members of Congress or the Capitol complex. Okay, that's standard. Then we have obtained intel that shows a possible plot to breach the Capitol by an unidentified militia group Thursday, March 4th. That'd be tomorrow. You know, if they really have such intel, would they be putting it out like that? I'm just asking. Or is it going out to say, here's why we got to keep troops here and why we have to keep the fences up? And if nothing happens tomorrow, what's going to be the next thing? Oh, we got intel for March 10 or maybe March 18 or maybe May 1st. I don't know where it's going to go. I have questions. I have questions. Is it real? And you know, part of the reason I have a question, because in the midst of all of this and their appearances before Congress trying to explain what they did or did not do during the January 6th thing, the FBI, quote, cannot disclose the cause of death of that U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. The FBI director, in a question from Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, during the hearing yesterday, was asked specifically about that and said it's ongoing investigation. I understand. I appreciate the keen interest. And apparently, despite Ray's testimony, still unclear, does the FBI not know the cause, or they're simply not giving it? And why would they not give it? Of course, the idea in the beginning was that he was attacked by a Trump person carrying a fire extinguisher, hitting him in the head, and that later caused his death once he got back to the police station. His mom has since said, no, he wasn't hit. His brother even said, I got a text from him later that day and said, all I got was some mace. That was about it. I'm sorry that he died, but I don't like the way they're now trying to use it as an example of see how violent this mob was. They killed a Capitol Police officer. And why are they not telling us the fact? Don't miss my next segment coming up about a new law.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man, and I won me another. Bought me a gun, and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There is something that Democrats are pushing forward. H.R. 1. It's titled, and I love the way the Democrats package things. They've come up with such nice phrases and cuddly puppies and kisses and lollipops and balloons in the sky. It's titled For the People Act of 2021. That should make you feel good, warm all over, shouldn't it? Well, the fact is, it should make you go absolutely cold and fearful. H.R. 1 would federalize, micromanage the election process administered by the states, imposing unnecessary, unwise, unconstitutional mandates on the states, reversing decentralization of the American election process. So says Heritage Foundation, and joining us now, a legal expert from the Heritage Foundation with the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, Zach Smith. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Now, folks, Zach has also served as Assistant U.S. Attorney in the Northern District of Florida. Now, this bill, H.R. 1, in the way I just described it, direct from the pages of Heritage, I read in that, it's not hard to read between the lines, so there goes election integrity and an increase in election fraud. Your turn, sir.
Well, I think many of the requirements that this bill would impose, one, it's a fundamental shift in stripping of power from state governments and transferring it to the federal government. And many of the requirements of this bill would, in fact, make our electoral process less secure. For instance, H.R. 1 would require states to allow same-day registration. It would mandate up to 15 days of early voting. It would require automatic registration of all individuals from certain state and federal databases. This means non-citizens and other ineligible voters would be included. It would ban states from requiring photo ID to vote. It would require no-fault absentee ballots to be sent out. And then it would ban states from requiring things like signatures to match or requiring notarization or witnesses for those absentee ballots. It would require states to count absentee ballots up to 10 days after Election Day. It would require states to allow vote harvesting, essentially allowing third parties to go around and collect these absentee ballots that have been mailed out.
Everything you're detailing is what we saw happen this last time around, and we know they've been doing it, and there have been some Republicans pulling the same shenanigans, but all of it is simply, again, undermining what's best for good, valid elections.
Yeah, it really is, Larry. And, you know, unfortunately, this bill is an 800-page behemoth bill. And so there's a lot of stuff in it, a lot of frankly, terrible ideas in it. And it really would be a radical transformation of the way our elections are run.
I want to stress, you're not talking about just how federal elections are carried out in these states. These are any elections in any state. Is that right?
Well, it would certainly have that effect. You know, it would apply to all 50 states. These requirements would be mandated across all 50 states.
And not just for federal elections. That's what I'm trying to drive home. Not just federal elections. Is that right?
Right. It would certainly, you know, primarily Congress is going to be focused on federal elections. But once they mandate certain procedures for federal elections, states are certainly not going to implement two parallel electoral systems and add even more confusion. And so, yes, it would have the practical effect of basically requiring these things for all of us.
Which brings us to the 10th Amendment. Very simple language. The powers not delegated to the U.S. by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectfully or to the people. That's pretty clear that the states can take care of their own elections and how they go about them. They don't need to have a federal mandate. So I don't see this. If they're going to do this, it looks to me like you got to have a constitutional amendment, but they're going to do it by fiat, by a House resolution rushing through Democrat House and Senate and to a Democrat in the White House, and that's going to be it?
Well, I think, Larry, you know, I think an important point needs to be made here. You know, there is a provision in the Constitution that says state legislatures have the primary authority for setting the times, places, and manners for election administration, but Congress can enact certain legislation. But let me give you an example of the type of legislation Congress has enacted in the past. Basically, the reason we have a single election day in November is because Congress passed a law requiring that. This bill wholesale transfers the nuts and bolts election administration processes from the states to the federal government. That's virtually unheard of and really unprecedented in many ways.
Is it constitutional? Is it constitutional? That's going to be a battle, well, I would imagine.
It will be, and I anticipate if H.R. 1 is passed, there will be protracted litigation about the bill. But, you know, even on that front, Larry, they've tried to stack the deck in favor of getting this bill to be upheld. They've required any lawsuits related to H.R. 1 or any of its provisions to be brought in the D.C. Federal District Court.
Oh, well, what a great place to get a fair hearing for conservatives. Go ahead.
Well, no, it really does upend the standard process whereby, you know, lawsuits are filed in different courts around the country. And so, again, this is just another mechanism, you know, to try to stack the deck and, you know, I think what many Democratic lawmakers view as being favorable to them.
There are other pieces. And as you said, this is a 800 plus page monster that right. A lot of folks are not going to really ever get around to breaking down. Another thing you point out, and you're listening again, folks, Jack Smith from the Heritage Foundation. Another thing that occurs inside there, but one of these things that while we're talking about on one part is to federalize, micromanage the elective process, it actually goes deeper because down in that it also authorizes the Internal Revenue Service to engage in partisan activity. Would you explain that part?
Yeah, so basically it would require the IRS, you know, I'm sure what we all agree, we need more IRS involvement
absolutely.
In our lives.
Yeah.
And I'm being facetious, just to be clear.
Well, I think I am too, but go ahead.
Yeah, no. So basically what it requires is before the IRS would grant tax-exempt status to certain organizations, nonprofits, it would require the IRS to review their activities, their political activities, that sort of thing. And I really think that has important, serious First Amendment concerns and could have a very serious chilling effect on free speech, the activities of these organizations, and really, you know, I know I've been saying a lot, but really would set a dangerous precedent.
It replicates or actually gives a stamp of approval what some rogue agents were doing with the IRS back during the early days of the Tea Party when anything that was trying to claim tax exclusivity as a political arm like a Tea Party or had conservative in the name that they were holding up their tax exemptions and basically making them run through several hoops and never get it anyway.
Right. No, I think this has very grave First Amendment concerns that you would allow the IRS to review the policy and political positions of these organizations before granting them tax exempt status. But, you know, that's not the only structural change this bill proposes. It also proposes to change the bipartisan Federal Election Commission into a partisan body. It proposes to take the authority of state legislatures for drawing congressional districts away from them, giving it this supposedly independent commissions. And then it also proposes to establish a, quote, commission to protect democratic institutions, basically to, they say, to push back against things that would threaten the independence of the federal judiciary. And so, again, these are very radical proposals, very dangerous proposals, and proposals that, frankly, would open up our electoral process to be more vulnerable to fraud and those sorts of things in the future.
And they're little pockets of quicksand and nets and traps and snares put through it, because at one point in their last 30 seconds or so with you, maybe a little bit longer than that, H.R. 1, adding a provision criminalizing, quote, hindering, interfering, or preventing anyone from registering or voting. Now, that is vague, broad. You can use it in any way you want, and they will.
Absolutely. You know, laws need to be clearly written. The electoral rules, processes, procedures need to be clear. And unfortunately, this bill does not advance those goals and, again, really prohibits states from enacting common sense anti-fraud provisions in their electoral laws. And it's a fundamental shift in power that's dangerous.
And where do we stand on H.R. 1 at this point for the passage?
Well, if it hasn't passed the House, it looks like it's headed that way shortly, headed over to the Senate. And so my hope is that the senators will pause, reflect on the many, many issues with this bill, and that it will not pass the Senate. But certainly encourage your listeners to make their views known to their senators and argue against the passage of this bill.
Riddle me this. If the Democrats are for it, is it going to be good for election integrity?
Well, I think regardless of who is for it, Larry, this bill contains many bad and dangerous policies and should not be enacted.
All right. I really appreciate your time, Zach, helping us understand. It's a monster bill, folks. H.R. 1. We'll keep an eye on it. Thanks, Zach.
Of course. Thanks so much.
You bet. Zach Smith with Heritage Foundation. There you have it, folks. It's an improvised explosive device, basically, waiting to go off. And it will damage and wreck our election integrity across this nation. All right. Andrew Cuomo today said, I'm going to have a news conference. Everybody gather around. And of course they're going to gather. I mean, he's facing a nursing home scandal and more lately the sex scandal. Is he going to resign? Is he going to step out? We will have Andrew Cuomo, a section of his news conference coming up. And I know if you're placing a bet right now, Lay your money down now before we play the sound. Got somebody nearby? Make a quick bet. I know my bet. Stay with us.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And I just wanted to ask you, with all these calls in the last couple of days calling for your resignation, is today, since you've been gone for about a week, is this your way of saying, I'm certainly not resigning?
Look, some politicians will always play politics, right? That's the nature of the beast. I don't think today is a day for politics. I wasn't elected by politicians. I was elected by the people of the state of New York. I'm not going to resign. I work for the people of the state of New York. They elected me, and I'm going to serve the people of the state of New York.
Boy, that is classic Cuomo. There you have it. He held a news conference, and, of course, they were doing some viral questions coming in, and the one flat out, are you going to resign with everything going on? No, I'm not going to. That's people playing politics, and I don't play politics. You don't play politics? Pull the BS card out and throw it immediately. It's bigger than a red card in a soccer game. Throw it at Cuomo. He has apologized for his past behavior following allegations of sexual harassment and inappropriate behavior by three women, telling reporters today, "I'm embarrassed by my actions." He said, "I now understand I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it. I feel awful about it. Frankly, I am embarrassed by it." Went on to say, "I never knew at a time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. But I've learned an important lesson and would be better for this experience." Do you see something common between Cuomo and Biden and the rest on the left when they kind of pull this stuff and, "I'm learning from it. I understand better. I just didn't see it." And yet, if a Republican or a conservative is accused of something like that, "Well, you should have known better. You're an idiot." Well, some members of the Democrats are calling Cuomo out like that. Of course, he says again, "It's all political." Let's hear that again. I mean, this is the laugh of the day, as you hear Cuomo saying, "I'm not political." That's what he's trying to say. "And I'm clean and innocent." And they're trying to play games when we have something really important to deal with.
Governor, I just wanted to ask you, with all these calls in the last couple of days calling for your resignation, is today, since you've been gone for about a week, is this your way of saying, "I'm certainly not resigning"?
Look, some politicians will always play politics, right? That's the nature of the beast. I don't think today is a day for politics. I wasn't elected by politicians. I was elected by the people of the state of New York. I'm not going to resign. I work for the people of the state of New York. They elected me, and I'm going to serve the people of the state of New York.
You know, yesterday I had a guest on, Christopher Bedford, of the Federalist, and we're talking about how all this concern about Cuomo and the sexual allegations, and they want to get rid of him because of that, not so much the nursing home deaths and that scandal. They use whatever they can. But I've got another piece here in front of me now that shows that liberal pundits, reporters who have showered Cuomo in the past, are backing up now, trying to move away. Daily Beasted editor Molly John Fast had penned a feature about her coronavirus crush on the governor. She said, "All of a sudden, I love Governor Cuomo, his soothing Queens accent, his stories about his dad, Mario." That's what she wrote in March 2020. Her latest scandal, or rather her latest piece titled, "My Cuomo Crush Turned Out to Be Stockholm Syndrome." I like that. That's pretty good. And CNN editor-at-large Chris Salazar, changing his tune on the Love Gov 2, according to this article. This was appearing on Fox News as a commentary, or rather reporting piece, talking about that Cuomo had written last year that Cuomo said he'll never run for president. That's a mistake. Yeah, he did say that. Cuomo said, and Cizella's quoted him saying he'll never run for president. But here's a guy every day on the COVID crisis giving briefings and so forth and looking presidential while the guy in the White House, you know, is going ballistic or going off crazy. That would, of course, be Trump in their view. Well, now, Syliza got ranked by columnist Drew Holden, the worst Cuomo takes, as getting, quote, "the fangirlish coverage stands as the most egregious." But Syliza is also backing away from Cuomo. He published a headline the other day, or feature titled with the headline, "Andrew Cuomo is trying to stall on sexual harassment allegations. It won't work." And then he also penned a piece outlining how critical the next few days are for Cuomo. And he wrote, "His political fate is far from certain." Do you see what's going on here? They are beginning to cut their ties with him, walk away from them. Are they all being political? Are they doing it at the behest of other Democrats who want to see Cuomo gone? Or are they realizing it's a liability, it's radioactive, we cannot touch it? They're trying to preserve themselves, is what it amounts to, after three different women have accused him of unwanted advances. And it took all of that, it took three different women recently to make those allegations. And the bigger story should be the nursing home deaths. No one, to my knowledge, died while Cuomo was leaning over, kissing or rubbing his hand up against a woman's back. Inappropriate? Yes. Deadly? No. Well, let me correct that. Could be deadly for Andrew Cuomo's political career. That's a possibility. coming up in the next hour. Immigrants crushing across our border and more to come. Biden wants 130,000. And are you ready for bodies to be composted and spread around the land?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.